am so pleased to be here today. This is the third year that we've had the great pleasure of working with the National Center for Immunizations and Respiratory Diseases and augmenting their very strong campaign with some new media, social media activities. So I'm going to show you some of those today. I have a lot of slides. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I wanted to put everything in the slide deck, put numbers where we have them, and I'll make it available if anybody's interested in seeing some of the other activities that I don't get to talk about today. So why do we care about using social media in public health? Because it's huge. Because lots of people are using it, and because people are starting to expect that they'll be able to get information in these ways. And it's where people are spending their time. So let's go and find them where they are. We have social networking sites. How many people have like a MySpace Facebook profile? At least half the room. How many people read blogs? And how many people write blogs? So less, but still, you know. And that's usually what you find, like the writing blogs is a much smaller segment, which fascinate me. Virtual worlds are huge, and we have an activity in the end of the presentation about Wyville, which will be the third year that we've worked with them, targeting tweens and their grandparents. Mobile phone. Everybody knows, everyone, you know, is getting a mobile phone. Landlines are dropping. How many people here have more than one mobile phone on their person right now? So a lot of people. And it's not just the professionals who carry their cell phone and their BlackBerry. We work with someone who was doing research outside on the streets in San Francisco talking to teens, and they said, hey, you know, what cell phone do you have? We want to know because we're designing a study. And they said, well, which cell phone do you want? Do you want the one that my parents got for me? Or do you want the pay-as-the-go one that I got on the side that they don't know about? So they're out there. Now, absolutely, I think that almost every communication activity should have components that are not solely dependent on new media and access, because it isn't universal. But I do like this study from Pew, actually, talking about internet usage. When you look at the difference between parents and teens down at the annual household income level, you see a big difference in those who use the internet or email among the parents. And that difference shrinks a lot when you get to the teens. And it's because these are crucial tools that are part of their life. They're part of their social activities. They're dependent on these. And they're going to find a way to access it. If it's at the library, if it's at work, if it's at, you know, an internship, they're using these. And so even though they may not have them in a computer at home, they still have access. And we're absolutely showing that the research supports that mobile technologies are fantastic for reaching particularly some of the lower income groups, because people are more likely to own, or they're going to own a cell phone first before they even own a computer in their home. And they have great data plans, which means they can get, you know, pictures and videos and stuff. So our goal is to make CDC science and health messages like influenza vaccinations available when, where, and how users want them. And here are some of the ways that we're doing that. Like I said, there's a very strong seasonal flu campaign every year, and we get to augment that with some very cool things. Our team uses a variety of different social media tools really as engagement strategies. And so this is a summary of how we think of our communication strategy. We're not going to replicate all of our information on all these other sites. That would be too difficult to maintain, and people don't want all CDC information. We're going to use them as engagement pieces. So we're going to have information that's formatted for that particular site, and it's interesting to that audience. And to understand that when someone sits down at their computer and they go to Facebook, it's for a very different reason than they go to YouTube, which is a different reason than they go to read a blog. So how can we repackage the CDC information to meet the needs of those spaces and to remind people that the CDC has information that's relevant to them and bring them back into the website to get all of the information that we have available. One of the ways we did this is through what we call graphical buttons. They're just little clickable images, and we disseminate them to partners. We had a big push this year. They were on 159 different web pages. Of those, 52 were health department sites. 20 were internal, so cross-promoting across different programs that were not talking about influenza or immunizations. 53 were on sort of general partner sites, and 34 were on blogger sites, and that's a big increase from last year. So we had a lot of bloggers who were promoting this, and bloggers have a very dedicated, interested following, and so people have signed up or go to listen to their thoughts and opinions because they're invested in that person and what they have to say. So having this information come from them is meaningful. As a result, 116 plus 1,000 click-throughs came through to the CDC website. We weren't necessarily trying to drive traffic there, but that's one way of us sort of measuring the interactivity of the activity. We had a very similar graphic that we made available specifically for social networks. So this was for individuals to tell their friends, and it was on six different MySpace profiles. And we're sort of counting how we can calculate reach. Do we just count their friends, or is it forwarded on? And then we also used our MySpace profile, which is here on the left-hand side, to promote our ongoing activities. And we have 700 different friends. And we're still accepting friends, if anyone wants to be our friend, to promote our ongoing activities. And we made the button available right there. So when you see on the right-hand side, there's a list of our current buttons. And you can just, what looks like sort of squiggly mess to the right of the graphics is HTML code. And you just have to copy and paste it into your MySpace page, which is how people who set up their pages would typically add graphics. And then they have that graphic right there, so they can let their friends know, I support seasonal flu vaccinations. Then we have the childhood vaccinations badge up currently. We had a webinar for blog writers, so we're very interested in leveraging the power of blogs, and one way to do that is to invite blog writers to attend a webinar and talk with subject matter experts. You can see the breakdown of how many we invited and how many attended. So we had a total of 8 blog posts, but if they have thousands and thousands of readers each, that's really pretty meaningful and you're getting a good reach. It also gives people the opportunity to ask questions that they think that their readers would want to know. We take some time out of the webinar, which Janine hosted, to talk about the messages that are effective. So having somebody from the CDC's, communication office who focuses on immunization say, here's some messages that we've tested, and this is what really resonates with parents, gives the bloggers an inside track to things that would be effective and meaningful, and it's another way for CDC to reinforce sort of research-based health messages. We have e-cards, which we've added to our site. The great thing about e-cards is that so we've built the engine and we can do as many different ones around a topic as we want. And so we had cards that targeted a variety of different audiences. There were 2 generic and there were 7 targeted cards. By far the most popular was the one reminding health professionals to get vaccinated. And what's interesting is that you see a difference in the number of cards sent and the number of cards viewed. And that's for 2 reasons. One is that I send Janine a card. Janine gets it in her Gmail. She follows the link, looks at the card. She likes it so much that she forwards it to 5 of her friends. And we know that that happens. The other reason is that we, for the first time this year, specifically around flu, gave the opportunity for people to let us know if they wanted us to send it out to a very large mailing list of people. We don't allow that from the CDC webpage because we want to prevent spamming, but we'll do it internally, and so we send it out to hospital associations or groups of providers, and so it's one card that's being sent to thousands of people. And so it shows sort of the viral nature, and of course you can read the message and click through and then send your own e-card to your friends. So I'll talk about maybe 2 or 3 more, and then I'll stop. And there's a ton more in the presentation that I'll give out. And I'm happy to talk to anybody who's interested about any of those other things you saw, you know, in the circle that we didn't get to talk about. We had a variety of widgets. So a widget is a small piece of content that is sort of standalone and it can live anywhere. So if you set up your personal homepage and you decide every day when I go to Google, I want to see, you know, the weather and the traffic and the hot books at Amazon, each of those are widgets. And you have selected that you want those on your webpage and you decide I want this one in the upper left-hand corner, but the content in it comes from weather.com or comes from Amazon, and they sort of own that and rotate it. So we do the same thing. So these pieces of content here can sit anywhere. And they are on health department web pages, they're on blogger sites. We have a map that is updated during the season to show the changing rates among the states. We have an RSS reader, which you see on the right-hand side, so that basically takes all the news updates that feed from the CDC flu webpage, and it displays it here. So you don't always have to remember to come back to the CDC website to get new information. If you know you want that and you want to know when something has been updated, you just put this widget on your webpage, and we'll tell you, and we'll provide links so that you can come back and see it. And something that I'm very proud of, we have our first really sort of cool cutting edge widget, which is the Flu IQ. And this is the widget on the left-hand side, and then on the right you see the widget embedded inside of a web page. So here it is on the Boulder County site. And it's a quiz, and when you take it, the water moves up and down, and yeah, I actually think it's pretty cool. And we can count from the CDC side how many people are interacting with it, even though it lives on a variety of different sites. So I think I will end with that, and I'll stop and see if there are any questions. Oh. No, they're stunned.
You can give a shout out to the flu widget team in the back.
Oh, are they here?
They are here in the back.
Oh, hello, Flu Widget team. This was fantastic. We're getting rave reviews of the quiz widget. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop there. There's a ton more about virtual worlds and a lot of our other activities and our mobile site, and I'm happy to talk to anybody if you're interested in implementing some of these. And we do have some resources on the CDC website at cdc.gov/health marketing. We're the eHealth group, and we're trying to put resources and case studies and lessons learned there to try and help help you. Oh, can I say one more thing before we go? Actually, this, yes. Yes. It's cdc.gov/health marketing. And before I leave, I actually want to tell you about one more thing, which I think may be of particular interest to this group. We started something new called content syndication. And that's basically, which, you know, it's our tech group made up that name, as if you can't tell. That's basically where we take the text content from within one of our CDC web pages and we push it out to another web page. We strip out our header, our footer, our navigation, our branding, and we pump it into, here's the Ohio Health Department, which was our first pilot, and it looks like this is Ohio's content. And the great thing is you set it up once and then it automatically refreshes. If we make a change, it automatically changes. We've used it for information that changes rapidly. We used it during the salmonella outbreaks, but we've also syndicated information that's of interest to particular health departments, but they don't necessarily have, or partners, they don't necessarily have the web staff to maintain all these additional pages, and you don't have to. So if you're interested in that, we're looking for people to pilot with, so I'd be happy to talk about that with you. And on with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.